Welcome to Supercomputer, a show about making sense out of a mess of technology.
I'm Alex Cox, an automaton in training.
And I'm Matthew Casanelli, your friendly neighborhood computer dude.
Congratulations, Matthew. You've made it to your second episode of a regular weekly podcast.
Yes. Success.
How does it feel?
Feels good. I am glad to be back and more caffeinated this time, so should have a little bit more energy.
What's your beverage of choice to get caffeine from?
Ooh, I am an espresso person, actually, because this Christmas, I think we decided to splurge for an espresso machine since both my girlfriend and I work from home. So we were like, let's do this because then we can avoid spending way too much going out to coffee shops and get a solid hit of caffeine when we need it. But I am also a Diet Dr. Pepper guy, which I know that you are a fan as well.
I mean, it's the perfect drink. It is literally just a taste that was created by science, which I just think is appropriate for this show since it was, you know, nothing tastes like it. It's just something that was engineered to be pleasing to a human palate, which is fascinating to me.
Well, it does taste just like regular Dr. Pepper, so.
Exactly. It's just pure magic because they're like, well, we've created this taste, so we're just going to reverse engineer it so that there's the taste, but with less sugar. I love my amazing science drink. It's great.
It's not going to kill you also, which is, I used to drink a lot of regular Dr. Pepper, and that was a little brutal sometimes on your system because it's just now when I have one, I'm like, oh god, I cannot handle this.
It sticks to your teeth. Ugh. Anyway, we were trying to figure out, like, what topics do we address before iOS 12 comes out because we don't yet have access. Well, those of us who aren't on the developer beta, like some people, like, you know, friendly neighborhood computer men, don't have access to Siri shortcuts yet. We can't really get into deep, deep automation yet.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to talk about just where voice assistants are right now.
Especially since I've been teasing everybody this whole time and writing articles about shortcuts when you can't actually use the app yet, but I think Siri and all of the other assistants out there are a good place to start because there's kind of a point in the ground right now, like I said last time, where things are going to change. And so I think it's worth looking back at how the conversation has sort of been shaped up to this point and then sort of how it might turn into the future. So
I just realized that the reason I enjoy reading all of these articles about something that I don't have access to yet is very much like when I go on a deep dive of, you know, researching everything about a video game that hasn't come out yet, because normally I'm on like full, what our friend Todd Vaziri calls full media blackout for movies. Like, I want to know nothing. Mm-hmm. I want to go in completely blind, but I'm just slowly preparing myself for early September, hopefully early September, when I finally get to play with all of the new digital toys.
I think that's smart too, because I think a lot of people out there don't use Siri that much, and so they may have unintentionally been on a blackout with using Siri, because I think a lot of people kind of, I mean, I just see a lot of hashtag Siri fail on Twitter where sometimes it is inexplicable where it's, you're just clearly saying one thing and it does something different, but I think we'll get into that.
I mean, now Siri has been around since 2010. Oh, you put it in notes. It was introduced with the iPhone 4S in 2011. And before that, it was actually a standalone app that Apple eventually acquired, much like another app that we talk about a lot on this show. Did you use the original Siri app before it came to iOS?
I did not, and the only reason is because I didn't have an iPhone yet, so I might have used...
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
just shaming me again.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, yeah, the 4S was just before that, at least, so I might have used it on my iPad, too. I don't really remember. I mean, I do remember hearing about it and how it was just a big deal, And I think one of the big things at the time was that they seemed to have really good momentum. Like, the what it was then was fairly impressive for the time, and the natural language processing that they did and some of the actions were like pretty far out there. And then essentially, I think for a lot of people, it just kind of hasn't progressed a whole lot from that point, which is not necessarily true with all the features that it has. But I think for a lot of people, the usage hasn't like changed dramatically for themselves over time, unless you necessarily got some other Apple devices that kind of prompt you to use it more.
Right. And I'm curious, how much do you use Siri now in your day-to-day life without, you know, obviously Siri shortcuts and the shortcuts app?
So I use it a ton, actually. And kind of my point that I was hinting at in the last one was the Apple Watch is what made me really start to use it a lot more, because I think with your phone, it is just kind of pulling it out and using it. It's just a different flow as opposed to just having it on your wrist and turning and saying the "Hey, supercomputer" phrase and kind of triggering her to respond to you. So I think the first Apple Watch is what really got me into it. And I also kind of, I mean, like Alexa came out around then. Oh gosh, I'm going to trigger it. The Amazon Echo. We're going to write that down next
to me. The Amazon supercomputer.
Yeah. The big difference was that Alexa came out. Just immediately did it again. The big difference was that the Amazon Echo came out, and I could tell Siri was still kind of in a stasis, which we'll get to some of that in-between part still. But at least at the time, I saw that Amazon and Google were starting to push, and I kind of took that into mind. And the biggest change was using reminders, because the reminders app isn't the greatest design, I could say. A lot of people don't like the stacks of cards and all the color. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it actually fits into iOS more now. That's a little bit more white, and even it sort of looks like the Shortcuts app now. But even still, it's not the most fantastic app to physically go into and use and look and go in and set a reminder with a toggle for when it's due. And I realized that I could just tell Siri to do it. It's like, I don't want to go tap into those little cards and set a time and then navigate the calendar menu. I can just say, remind me in 10 minutes to do this. And I took that to heart, because that pushed it really far. And my girlfriend, I started to convince too, is, let's just use the shared reminders list for groceries. And then that was like a huge, because like, we struggle with that real hard, is what should we eat? And like, oh God, we don't have the right food. And it's just kind of not a problem anymore, because we just use that. What about you?
Well, I actually, spoilers, I use Siri a ton, maybe 25 to 50 times a day, actually. Mm-hmm. But what I find super fascinating that I didn't even think of until I saw people who are outside of our computer Apple-y bubble, a lot of folks don't actually ever go into the Reminders app. They just tell Siri to remind them to do something, and then it happens.
Yeah, exactly.
It's awesome. Like, we crap on Siri all the time, but really what we're crapping on is it's search, honestly. And I know that's kind of like, people who are very into the Apple ecosystem and our nerd friends are going to say, well, what about when Siri just stalls and stalls and stalls? And the thing is, normal people get frustrated by that too, but also it's like, we're in the future. And yeah, I get a little upset when Siri is like, I'll tap you when I'm ready on my Apple Watch. And it's like, come on, dude. Like, really?
Yeah,
really?
That's pretty cool.
Some of the copywriting for Siri is a little bit frustrating, especially for, like, I don't want to say normal. I'll say it. The normies who aren't super computer nerds like us. But I kind of was almost inspired by seeing I was kind of, like, off the grid internet-wise, but I saw a lot of my family members when we were on vacation constantly using Siri just built in with iOS, setting reminders and like using the calendar. And nice. I know that, like, you know, timers are just such a small thing, but there's something about it where it feels more a part of the OS than I think people that we know, well, until recently, like, people were like, yeah, it's Siri in the same way that, like, there's Siri's an app, almost the way that, like, Stocks was an app. Like, so many people just completely ignored it. And I was that way too, but then the HomePod happened, and gosh, it is, I don't want to be that person who's like, the HomePod is absolutely amazing and wonderful and perfect, because it's not. It's totally flawed, and it's way behind in terms of all the Amazon Echo products. Like, yeah, sure, it's real, like, you can't even set multiple timers on it, and that is something that even normal people run into. Yeah, they're like, why can't I set another one? What's okay? But also, a lot of folks just accept that as, okay, that's not something my computer can do, which is, again, for us, we know it's stupid. But what I've been it feels almost second nature now, because I don't like saying the Amazon trigger word, because it's so like, oh, I'm talking to this thing that wants to sell me a bunch of stuff, which is absolutely fine. And like, okay, yes, Amazon, you and your talking products are there essentially to sell me goods and sometimes services from your website. But that's never what I used it for. I used it for controlling the lights in my house and stuff. But that's really all I used it for. There's all of these skills, or are they called Echo skills or Hey Supercomputer skills or whatever? Yeah. And I just kind of stopped using them. They were really complex. It felt like the Android of voice automation, honestly. And I don't have a lot of experience with the Google Home, honestly, because that feels even more invasive in terms of, like, oh yeah, I am the product of Google, which is totally fine. People can make that choice themselves. But for some reason, the HomePod feels like it's getting closer to ambient computing for me. Like, I can't summon like the Echo in my office. I can't tell it to remind me about something when I get home. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was one of the big plays that Apple kind of doesn't seem to, I don't want to say get credit for, because I don't care whether they get credit, but it's on all of the devices already. And that's something that I don't know if Amazon or Google can replicate that, at least not for someone like me. That, so I have a little chart that I made, and it's what assistants are on what devices. And Siri is on the phone, the tablet, the Apple Watch or the smartwatch, in your headphones, in your home, and then even like in your car. And then now that there's something like Shortcuts too, it's the actual app that you can use, which is another level. And it's even integrated into the system of the phone that you're using. And like, Amazon has Fire tablets, which seem pretty great for being like just a tablet, like a cheap screen that you kind of want to watch. And I've even seen lately they have like a tablet mount that actually looks kind of interesting. I'm kind of fascinated by that one, but otherwise it's
doesn't
like,
doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Okay. I actually got it and tried it. It works in the same way that I had previously tried to, before the HomePod, I had kind of tried to make an iPad into a similar thing. And it's just, it feels like a hack.
Yeah, fair. I mean, Amazon killed it in getting it to people's homes and shipping it first. And it's also just affordable. Like, I bought an Echo Dot just because I wanted to, like, know what it was like and use it. And I mean, It's just kind of fascinating because for a lot of people, that's good enough. And for what they're doing, what everyone does so far, it's plenty fine. It's like one of my cousins, actually, this was a cool story. She said that one of her children, they got a dot and they loved it, but she has like four kids. And so it was like, I want my own. And so they got dots for each of them in their room. So that basically she was like, they're just CD players. It's something where they can just say, mm-hmm, play this. Mm-hmm. And then they have, and like, yep, kids don't care about the quality of music. And she was like, do you know how many songs there are about poop? Because my kids know now. And trust me, we've heard them all. And I was like, oh, God.
That's kind of adorable.
Yeah, that was good. But then it was funny, too, because she said that she had listened to, I was on another podcast with Renee Ritchie, and she said that she had listened to it. And she was like, oh, shoot, I can't do all the serious stuff. And for me, I was like, what? Yes, win. Totally convinced my cousin that this was something worth checking out. And because it is like, Alexa does have those skills, but it seemed like one of the big problems that they have is just how you trigger it, and that they just kind of had a name grab. And if you were the first person to build an app with a trigger phrase, you got it. And then everyone, mm-hmm, else is just kind of screwed. And actually, ironically, Shortcuts does have a similar problem where you have to name all of your shortcuts and trigger them by that name, and you do, yeah, just have to remember that. And I think I don't remember if I filed a radar to Apple or not yet, but I want it so when you go into trigger Siri and then it kind of doesn't work, there's a little question mark in the bottom and you can tap that and it'll show you what Siri can do. And I want all of my shortcut trigger custom phrases in there so I can just see that,
yeah,
in the Siri interface. I feel like that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, in at least there's a record too, sort of, or it seems to be that, yeah, well, people are going to find the like Siri shortcuts much more accessible than the Amazon Echo skills. Because
yeah,
they,
it seems like it.
I get an email every week telling me what's new with our friendly A named friend.
I totally want to make my own version of that newsletter. Just copy it word for word, but just make Siri shortcuts and just like, I might actually do that because there's just plenty of shortcuts to go around, mm-hmm, and just having a list is like, at a certain point, I know that people love listening to my voice, but really they just want to learn about this stuff and not, and like use it, not necessarily go through the whole process. It's like just a list of 45 shortcuts every week. I think it would actually probably do well. So we'll see. But sorry, that, I totally interrupted you.
No, that's exactly what I would want, because now the Echo skills are slowly becoming, hey, you can ask your device when the big game is on, and it's slowly devolving into just ads instead of, you yeah. know, useful, cool automation tools like, oh, you can hook into if this, then that, so that you can, which is a service that I adore that, you know, hooks into a bunch of other services like the G Suite and the Hue product, a whole
right
suite
now
of stuff.
The if this then that integration is not in the Shortcuts beta, unfortunately. I'm not sure if it's going to
I
be
think
gone.
That's fine.
So
I wait, was it in the work? Was it in workflow?
Yeah, there's an action that you could use it as a trigger. I'm
Ooh.
It's like, I don't want to say anything official, but the only actions that are gone use APIs, which isn't how everything else works. And so I'm curious if there's sorting out that needs to go on there, or it is just kind of, I don't know. It's not, it's not like, I hate when people are just like, oh, it's anti-competitive. Like, it's not necessarily, it could just be a technical thing. It's like, you have to legally agree to use someone's API in your app and things like mm-hmm. that. And that creates other issues. But
that's another reason that I have kind of entrenched myself into the Siri camp more and more, is because of the whole, I don't think it's not competitive, even though, you know, it, hi, welcome to capitalism, that shocker if that would be the case. It's, I truly think that Apple cares about people's privacy and data, because that's the only, that's almost like a proprietary thing for them at this point, is that they don't need our data because we throw money at them for their hardware, and sometimes for their software. Like the App Store actually makes them money. And that just brings me some sort of comfort, I guess. And also knowing that they need to make their hardware better. And it, for example, the HomePod, I think it's a good start, and they, but they know that they're way, way behind. But Apple, people forget that Apple has been behind in so many markets before.
Yeah, that's kind of their thing, is to wait until they can do it right, and then, and then repaint history. So it's like, oh, it always should have been this way, and it's always been the best, which is not always necessarily true. But I, so I have a HomePod too, and like you said, I use it all the time to turn on and off the lights. I kind of went insane last year, and every single light that isn't an overhead has a Hue light in it, and like put the whole light strip in the living room behind the TV and stuff, so that we can just be like, turn on the living room or turn on the downstairs. And I think I made a really bad scene that was turn on the calzone zone, and there's like a whole zones feature. Yeah, and it's like turns on the kitchen. It was like totally excessive when I could just say it, but I was like trying to, because they have zones too, that it's like super buried in there, but you can be like upstairs or downstairs or inside and outside, because we have one on the porch. But the HomePod is fantastic for those, because I can be upstairs in the bedroom and my HomePod's in the opposite corner of the house, and like I'll still have to turn towards it and yell, because it's, I've got a weird shaped house, but it'll still hear me. And that's, to me, that's like the biggest thing, is just, I feel like the hardware, they nailed it in terms of what you'll want to keep in your house for the next 5-10 years or something like that. But
yeah,
the software definitely could get better. And I mean, it's hard, because like what it isn't yet is different than what it is. And I mean, I have weird problems with triggering it, and then it doesn't say something that was close, or like it'll play a random song.
Oh, really? I have never had it misunderstand me, which is something that always happened. And I've kind of moved away almost completely from any Echo stuff, except there's an Echo show in the kitchen for, I'm not, my spouse Maddie cooks, I'm not the cooker, but just for the like multiple named timers for cooking things. But the rest of our apartment is like, it again, it feels like Siri is just everywhere.
Well, does it not understand you, or does it not hear you? Because those are two different. Yeah.
It always hears me. It always understands what I am saying. I don't know how to, like, it always,
but it does like the wrong thing, or
it does the wrong thing sometimes in terms of media, but only podcasts. That is the one like downfall. Like I'll be like, hey, Apple supercomputer, please play Dubai Friday. And until recently, it's like, all right, now playing the due date podcast. And it was about it was a lovely pregnancy podcast. But it was clear that it was like, okay, I will never understand this. But
yeah,
I've never,
your show name, it's,
I know,
dude,
it's my fault.
So, yeah, it's a little,
I know,
bit
like
yeah, there's, I think a lot of people are a little unforgiving of like how hard this problem is, and especially people are like, well, a real person could do it, and I'm like, yeah, well, it's not a real person.
Yeah, no, like, shit, Sherlock. Yeah. Like, what?
Or not necessarily. It's like I say play Dubai Friday, and they're like, they're not gonna search Dubai Friday, like. And so I think, I mean, and especially like the difference between music or a podcast is like contextually you might know because you know me. Like there's some stuff that eventually could maybe figure that out, but it's at the same time, mm-hmm. it's just a word. If you just say play the song or play the podcast, then it's probably gonna get it. And mm-hmm. there are still just times where it just biffs it. And it's especially, it always happens when I'm around someone too. I'm like, oh, like, let me show you my cool HomePod. And then they're like, nice job, dude. It's, oh, that stupid thing. But it's, I mean, there's the flip side though of my girlfriend's dad comes over, and when he's visiting, he'll just be playing awesome music that I've never heard the whole time because he can just tell it to do it. Mm-hmm. It's great. And I've always enjoyed getting that from him because he lived in Berkeley and grew up in the 70s and stuff, so he had a huge connection with music, and being able to make that accessible to somebody else while we're all just hanging out, it's like we do that when they're here. We like listen mm-hmm. to music on the HomePod, not do something else, and so it can be like a cool social experience
for sure. And I'm actually, well, speaking of accessibility in a different term, I'm very curious to know if this is the case for other folks, but I often have a stutter or a stammer, especially, if I'm anxious, and sometimes like at night it becomes more prominent, and the Amazon stuff has never worked it, to the point where I just can't use it. Which is a bummer. And I have not yet had that problem with the HomePod, which I think is very cool. The problem before with the phone, but also it doesn't, like, the microphones aren't there. So I don't really hold it, I don't hold that against them. But I think that's really interesting.
I hope that comes in the next iPhones, is better speakers. I want to be able to leave it on a table and shout at it like my HomePod and be able to hear me, because that would be... It is like when it really is ubiquitous, then you can start to rely on it, and that like makes a huge difference, is when it is always there. People, I mean, I remember, see, this is why I was saying that Amazon did such a good job of getting out there, is because so many people bought Alexas, and oh god, so many people bought is mine going off? It's probably going to say something. I remember just reading articles from people who were very hot on Alexa, but then he's like, well, I'm in my car and I can't use it. Or you mm-hmm. can buy the Alexa in... Oh my God, dang it. Okay, well, the problem is it's, when it's in a third-party device, it's not an Echo anymore. So it is a Amazon Assistant tool. But then that stuff can be like kind of shoddy quality, and it's not... always interesting. But then it's like, it's you can go back and forth, and it makes sense why people are struggling to put their stake in the ground. For accessibility purposes, just something not costing $350 sounds way more accessible, not in the term of physical accessibilities, but it is still just like charging mm-hmm. a lot for something means that people who are already paying for other medical bills or something might not necessarily be able to afford it. And
right.
we got my cousin, who's legally blind, one of the Echoes, because ironically, I was like, this is terrible, but I was like, oh, you can turn on the lights. And she was kind of like, I don't care, because like she turns on the lights actually mostly socially for like when other people are there. But otherwise, she doesn't really need, it's like she's not totally blind. Yeah. So it still is, it's when it's dark, it's worse. But mm-hmm. A big thing is just music, is poking through your phone to find that right playlist is a challenge in a different way, and not having to have your phone or just being able to say it makes is just easier too, and that's for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I'm not one of those people who thinks that the world is going to be voice first, voice forever, and that's like what ambient computing is going to be. But I think it might be like a 50-50 situation, honestly, because of that accessibility, those accessibility reasons. And I also think, and I'll be real, I think Siri is probably going to be more, I think it is already used more than any Echoes just by the number of
scale, yeah,
devices out there. But then again, Amazon doesn't really release how many they've sold of anything.
Didn't that just leak? Didn't the information say that, first of all, only 1% of Echo users actually order stuff on Amazon? Which, it's like, it makes sense. It does just
I've literally never done it.
At least it's just on your mind constantly. Like, it's impossible not to think about Amazon when you use it. And if you also have an Echo, there's still a connection there. But I think they also said that there has only been 50 million, which is how many iPhones did Apple sell last quarter? Like, probably more than that. And sure, they're not using Siri in the way that everybody wants a magical assistant to do it, but it is. I see my friends texting each other, especially when they're just like, we were trying to go up on a day trip basically, and someone was out in the car and we all went, and then somebody used a voice message back to the person in the house because it was just like, I don't want to sit here and type, but they need to know that we're like leaving because they missed it or something like that. And
yep,
I was just like, oh yeah, people use this besides me. I'm just in my house using it all the time, and it is such a personal thing that you just don't see people use it, and so it seems like nobody does. But and then when it's the meme online that, oh, Siri can't get anything right ever, sometimes I'm just like, if you use it twice a month and one of the times it messes up, you have a 50% hit rate. But when you use it 100 times a day and it messes up one time or a few times, it's fine. I got way more value out of it than it detracted from what I was trying to do. And like, the frustration part of it definitely happens. It's funny too, just because Siri is a person. And so it's like, damn it, Siri, what are you doing? It's like,
yeah,
you can anthropomorphize it or yell at her. But I think I saw this article a while ago that was, this applies to real life even, is instead of things that make you angry or frustrate you during the day, I think they were saying they were talking to their kid and the kid's question, like, what was the silliest thing that happened to you today? And that, like, in some ways saved me or like changed my life, because I was like, oh yeah, instead of all this stuff just pissing me off, it's like, that was very silly that I just said that right and she got it wrong. And, okay, well, that was dumb, but like, it's fine. I can just, first of all I have to do is open my mouth and say it again. It's really not that big of a deal. And I think just that framework of just, it's the silly foibles of getting into voice computing and avoiding it because it got it wrong once, you might just end up missing out. And I hope they also at the same time just make it better so that doesn't happen.
We nerds also forget that a lot of people get just as, if not more, frustrated with their sit-down computers and phones.
Definitely.
Like, we understand. A lot of folks that we're friends with understand, like, okay, this is why there was a kernel panic. Okay, like, I'm using too much RAM. Like, and we can figure out what's going wrong. It's still frustrating, but we can't see the guts of what Siri's doing. So that's, I think, just fuels our frustration, because I am a control freak in terms of my devices. And maybe that's also why I like Siri the most, because it feels the most transparent.
Interesting. It's not just going away to the cloud. And I mean, yeah, we didn't really get into the whole privacy part, but that is like a huge thing, that especially it coming into your home. And even just already seeing news stories of somebody's entire conversation was texted from their Amazon Echo to somebody else's phone, or like, that one seemed like a crazy one-off, but like, still not great. But then it's like law enforcement taking your queries from Amazon, or Google is scraping it for advertising purposes.
And I don't necessarily think that it is a bad thing if people know that, if there is that tech literacy of, you are the product, or like, the products being sold to you aren't the Echo products. They want you to buy things from Amazon. Whereas, you know, Apple wants me to buy the HomePod and Apple Music. Like, at that point, like, that's what that product wants me to do. That there's nothing else there except buy more Apple stuff, which I'm okay with.
It's interesting because I was like a huge Google guy for a while. My mom, being the librarian, was like a Google certified teacher.
And your awesome, awesome Android phone.
I mean, it was good that I wasn't switching or something like that. But I mean, it's like we're using Google Docs right now as we speak also, because it's mm-hmm. it has always been the best like real-time collaboration tool. So that makes mm-hmm. sense. But it is fascinating because I would have to use Android in order to get all of it from Google. Kind mm-hmm, of what mm-hmm. I was saying about it being on all the devices is that does, like, it didn't make that much of a difference before, but now it is. And that's like one of the, I feel like with the Apple ecosystem, like some of the stuff, it's always been great and that it worked together, but it never was like a whole lot more than the sum of its parts. But now
right.
is where I think it starts to be like a multiplier, and you won't feel that effect until some of this stuff is like all out there, because when it's on every device, like show me the smartwatch that's not an Apple Watch that's worth buying. Like there's not, I think there's right. a couple now that are out there, but it's not, and just like a tablet then is like, you can't really do anything like an iPad. And then also AirPods is like, wow, it's like suddenly mm-hmm. it is like, I feel like, I mean, I actually wrote this article for TechCrunch because the editor invited me to when I met him at WWDC, but it was like they already have it laid out, and it's like if there's just like a couple switches flipped, this stuff is going to start like blowing you away, and you don't need to go. I mean, granted, most people don't have Apple Watches and iPads or HomePods. So that was, somebody gave me that feedback. They were like, I don't have those. And I was like, oh yeah, good point. Most people only do have iPhones, but
those people have them on themselves everywhere. So,
and it's like, it all just starts to mesh together and like multiply on top. And then it is like, oh, this will make that difference. And I do think that it's like Siri doesn't have Google search. Like that's one place where Google crushes it and probably will for a long time, is just being able to answer any question. And that's like the ultimate, it is like the party trick that Siri fails at, is just like, hey, who's this or whatever, and tell me this random thing, and it can't. But I think, or not necessarily, I guess, but in the future I'm mm-hmm. seeing the shortcuts and things like that might in the short term not necessarily totally like fulfill that goal, but in the long run, if it gets even better and better, I don't know how Google and Amazon are going to build workflow. Like that app is uniquely iOS and like pure iOS engineering that is like amazing stuff that they're doing, and I don't think Android just doesn't work that way. There's not even a phone that Amazon stuff can use unless you want the Fire Phone with the
doesn't exist. Well, I often think about
phone, yeah.
Yeah, I often think about I don't think we have a ton of time to go into sure. Cortana, poor Cortana, the the Microsoft voice assistant, which I love because
she's got a great voice. I was it's almost too real. It's like I was like you're like a cheeky like, hey, I'm a robot, but like I was impressed, especially compared to, I turned on the Google Assistant app to try to test it out, and like no joke, I did a thing, and from the other room my girlfriend was like, oh god, because it was just like, hello Matthew, what is the weather today in Berkeley? And it was just like, the new Siri voice is fantastic.
Again, I don't know if we have a ton of time to talk about this, but one thing that I really actually like about Siri that isn't quite a popular opinion, but it feels like one of the last things in Apple that has a like sense of whimsy, because there are some fun responses. And also now Apple claims that that Siri recognizes your voice just the same way it recognizes your face with Face ID. So do you use the default Siri voice?
Yeah. Oh, you have the like British, male British one? Is that it?
Well, So we'll see if this trigger. I'm sorry if this triggers anybody's phones, but hey Siri, are you friends with Alexa?
I offer no resistance to helpful assistance.
Oh, interesting. Hey Siri, what do you think of Google?
I think the acquisition of information and intelligence by human beings through virtual assistants is a very good thing.
I still think that's like a backhanded compliment of like, yeah, I think everything's good, but yeah. You know, they're gathering your information.
Oh, I didn't even think of that angle. I thought she was just saying, I guess if you're going to use an assistant, she just wants you to use them and eventually you might come back to Siri. But yeah, I mean, that trigger phrase problem is one of the things that is fantastic, is you'll have to say it into your phone a few times when you set it up, but that makes a big difference compared to the multiple times on this podcast so far I've accidentally triggered my Echo device and there's really no way to ever talk about, like, you can just say Siri, like, we can talk about Siri and how serious she is and it shouldn't trigger it because they've done that training. And I think I remember even like during one of the John Gruber's live shows, Craig Federighi was like, you guys, we can say this. Like, you don't have to say, hey, dingus, or hey, supercomputer.
Yeah. And even the, I remember, I think this happened not this past WWDC, but a previous live talk show. Someone was like, when's Siri gonna get better? And I'm like, you are... look at where you are. Read the room.
Was at the latest talk show and guess who also was there and like laughed about it and sat four people away from me. It was that freaking
was it the
dude.
Guy?
Oh my god. And he's like, I was like livid at the end of the thing. I like had to like walk out and be like, let's go, because I'm gonna turn to this guy and be like, nobody likes you in this whole room. Like, it's like, he's like thinking he's being funny about it too. And it was like, we all hate you. Like, you are like going to ruin this event and the Apple executives aren't going to come back. I was like, it's like, hold me back, bro. Cause it was bad. And I was just like, that's so just disrespectful too. But maybe we can cut this cause I'm ranting.
No,
a bit, but that was,
you know what? I think this, yeah, we'll do it. People are going to already be mad that we're Apple fanboys, but I will say that, you know, out of all the douchey and crappy things that people say in that like 1,000-person theater, the fact that there's only been one instance of heckling in the past, like, I don't even remember how many.
Yeah.
I think I've been to like 3 live talk shows now. But yeah, I love that we're all like, this guy. I forget if we swear on this podcast or not. So we'll see if that's bleeped or not.
We can use a computer noise and bleep it out. Bloop it.
Matthew Casanelli, where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me on Twitter at Matt Casanelli and then on MatthewCasanelli.com. And that's CASSI. NELLI. And what about you?
I am at Alex Cox, spelled COX, not the other way, on Twitter. And all of my stuff is just in my Twitter bio because I'm still too lazy to update my website portfolio. And we have an Instagram, don't we?
Oh, yeah. That was fun. We did a Instagram live this week. It's super fancy. But we basically wanted to like have a little space where we could. I mean, first of all, I just like talking with you, Alex, about all this stuff. And so there's always too much to talk about to actually put in a listenable podcast every week. So I think we might like do some more casual or maybe like timely stuff or hot takes on Instagram Live.
Hot takes. That's where the kids are with their hot takes.
I'm sure some of it will talk about what we're going to talk about in the future and get some stuff out there. But I think it should just be fun. And well, I'm also planning on posting some actual photos on Instagram too, not just doing live stuff, but
looked cute, might delete later.
So like, check out the shortcuts, guys. It's only gonna be on here for a few hours. God. What am I getting myself into?
All right.
I have another little spiel thing of just, so we did talk about like a bunch of Siri and Amazon and Google Assistant stuff, but I'm pretty sure we didn't cover everything. For example, we barely mentioned Bixby, but that's...
Oh, Bixby.
Well, we can get to that at some point, but I am curious if people have different opinions or unique ways that they're using theirs, or maybe I'm fascinated with the Echo Spot, so I'm curious if anyone has those, but... You can send us a message on Twitter and let us know. We are at _supercomputer, and it's the same on Instagram also.
All right. That is the second episode of Supercomputer. Thank you so much for listening.
See you later, nerds. Well, it does taste just like regular Diet Dr. Pepper. Oh, wait. Damn it. Anyways.